I want you to turn in God's Word to Matthew chapter 15. And as we begin today, this final little mini-series in our longer series on Calvary Baptist Church's mission, vision, and core values, we come to the 10th value, last but not least, and that is the value of leadership. It's not an understatement to say that leadership is to the health and welfare of the church and society what location is to real estate, right? It's everything. It's everything. Literally, the health and welfare of society, the health and welfare of the workplace, the business community, the government, the family itself, all the social institutions, education, all rest on the quality of leadership. And I want to talk about that today. For instance, think about the history of our nation. What if during the Civil War, that war that was waged really as an effort to keep the country united, and to set people free who had been abused for over 200 years from slavery, but also a war that President Lincoln himself said, and I agree, was a judgment by God because of slavery. What if in that horrendous war, when 600,000 men were killed in this country, more than all the men and women killed in fighting all the other wars in this country put together, fathers killing sons and sons killing fathers? What if during the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln had not been the president of the United States? What if during the Civil Rights Movement, we had not had the leadership of Martin Luther King Jr. and Rosa Parks? What would that have been like without the leadership? What about World War II? When Britain stood alone in the early months of the war after France had fallen, the United States was not in the war. What if all that Britain had to lead them at that time was Prime Minister Chamberlain and not Winston Churchill? What if all the West had to hope in after the Munich debacle, as Chamberlain came back after the Allies had sold out Czechoslovakia and had appeased Hitler, and Chamberlain came back and said to them and to the world, "We have peace in our time." Remember? "Peace with honor," he said. And of course, Hitler proved him wrong and plunged the world into World War II. But do you know, at that time that Chamberlain said that, the vast majority of the British public, the British Parliament, and the press were all behind him. And the appeasement. Churchill was not in power yet, but he was in Parliament. And they asked him, what did he think about the Munich Agreement? And he was one of very few people who talked honestly. He said in so many words, "It is a nightmare, it's a disaster, and we will pay the price." And they did. Chamberlain was removed, Churchill finally in power. And now, instead of appeasement, Churchill got in front of the people and he said, "I don't have a whole lot to give you, but I do have this. I have my blood, toil, sweat, and tears. And I'll give it all to you. And we will fight on the land and in the sea and on the ground, and we will never surrender." Suppose England only had Chamberlain and not Churchill. Amen. Our nation today is facing some incredible challenges. The war on terror, war in two countries, the the debt, the economy, the rise of other nuclear adversaries. We don't know what's going to happen in Pakistan, North Korea, Iran, and all the rest. Did you see the Gallup poll this week on the American public's confidence in Congress? Did you see it? Our Congress, American men and women, all who love our country, the Senate controlled by the Democrats, the House controlled by the Republicans. Did you see the Gallup poll? The American public's confidence in the leadership of Congress this week is the all-time low, the absolute lowest in the history of the country. This week, 84% of the people say they do not have confidence in Congress. 84%. 13% said they do. I think personally they need to be interviewed and find out exactly what it is they need. Somebody needs to help them, okay? 3% said they weren't sure. That may be the scariest stat of all. Amen? A nation needs leadership, not political partisanship, gridlock, and mutual hate and disrespect. But I'm not here at Calvary Baptist Church to talk about government leadership. I'm here to talk about us, to talk about the evangelical church, to talk about evangelical leadership in these days, to talk about Calvary Baptist Church and how we want to see God raise up more and more men and women to lead this church the way God wants it to be led. Amen? The church needs good leadership. Look at Matthew 15. 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ was commenting on the religious leadership of his day, the Jewish religious leadership. And here's what he has to say to us. Chapter 15, verse 1 of Matthew. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked him, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Wow, what a major concern of leadership. They don't wash their hands before they eat. Dear God, intervene quickly. And Jesus gets right to the heart of the problem. Why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? He says, let's not waste time. Let's focus on the leadership. Why do you dishonor and blaspheme God by elevating human tradition, religious tradition, to the level of the word and the policy of the living God? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God, you can read there is a gift that I'll get eventually, the religious leaders. He is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your traditions. You hypocrites. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Did you know you could worship God in vain? Without effect? In an empty way? Yeah, when we elevate the traditions and the prejudices and the agendas and the power trips of men and women above the truth of God, whether Baptist or Jewish or anyone else, amen? They worship me in vain, and their teachings are but rules taught by men, moralism and legalism, which always produces in its adherence self-righteousness, judgmentalism. Jesus called the crowd and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth." And of course, he taught in other places, what comes out is from the heart. That is what makes a man or woman unclean. Then the disciples came to him and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" Well, doesn't that break your heart today? The Pharisees were offended. The hypocrites were offended when Jesus called them out because they elevated their own prejudices and traditions above God Himself. They were offended. It breaks your heart, doesn't it? How about God being offended? How about God's taking offense? Then Jesus got right to the point again. He said, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots." What he said was, these leaders who elevate tradition and prejudice and ritual above truth, mercy, and love, these leaders do not belong to me. Go to the bank on it. Amen? They do not belong to me. Leave them. He said to the people, leave them. Get out of Dodge. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, they will both fall into the pit. You think Jesus took leadership seriously? And the answer is absolutely. Look at Matthew 23. Jesus saves his most strongly worded denunciations. You might say his deepest excoriation he reserves for hypocritical religious leadership. Number one, Matthew 23, verse 1, "Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, 'The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must obey them and do everything they tell you, but do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy loads and put them on men's shoulders. They themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for men to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted in the marketplaces and to have men call them rabbi. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have only one master, and all of you are brothers. Don't call anyone on earth father, for you have one father, he's in heaven. Nor are you to be called teacher, for you have one teacher, and he is the Christ. The greatest among you," the Lord says now as he gives the secret of effective leadership, "the greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the kingdom of men of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves don't enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to enter. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you. Woe to you, you blind guides! You blind guides." We're finishing our months-long series on mission, vision, and values with leadership. On the back of the bulletin, You see what God has been doing among us, and it's been a special time to give us a unity, a sense of who we are, why we're here, what God wants from us in His power. Amen. The vision of Calvary Baptist Church is to engage New York City and impact the world with the message of Jesus Christ. These are the core values that drive our decisions, define our actions, focus our direction, the gospel itself, the Word of God, as we proclaim that truth with love but without compromise, reconciliation, diversity, orthodoxy, the biblical fundamentals of the faith, life and personhood, the value of human life, compassion, justice biblically defined, faith, transformation, discipleship, spiritual formation, witness, evangelism, missions. And now today, for the next probably 2 to 3 weeks, the issue of leadership. There are a lot of good books on leadership. There are a lot of good books on how Jesus himself led, but we're not going to look at them. We're going to look at the scriptures. And for the sake of Calvary Baptist Church and our ministry now, and Lord willing, if he tarries into the future, we want to ask the question, how can we continue to find and develop leaders in this church? And as we find them, discover them, cultivate them, develop them, and turn them loose, what kind of leadership do we need, and what kind of leadership does God expect? Amen? And I want to focus on three issues, and I'm only going to talk about half of the first one today. But the three issues are these: what God wants from the leaders in this church, number one, is to lead like Jesus. To lead like Jesus. Don't be lulled to sleep about that. It is not nearly as simple as some of us may instinctively say it is. Amen? To lead like Jesus. Number two, leaders who can lead in the tough times, who, when the going gets tough, can step up, as we've seen many of our leaders do in recent years. Can step up and give that biblical Christ-like leadership when it's needed the absolute most. Amen? And number three, leaders who love the church. Leaders who love God's people. Amen? We want to talk about that. Glory to God. Leaders who lead like Jesus. Let's begin looking at that today a bit. What do leaders who lead like Jesus look like? What do they do? And there are books that talk about 20, 30, 40 characteristics of leading like Jesus, and that's all good. I want to focus on only two and talk with you about one of them this morning. The first way you lead like Jesus is you exercise spiritual authority as a leader. But you always exercise that authority lovingly and responsibly without ever abusing that authority and abusing people. Amen? The first way you always lead like Jesus is to exercise that authority that God gives to leaders lovingly, responsibly, and without ever abusing that authority or abusing people. Look at Matthew 7, verse 24. Matthew 7, the greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever preached, Jesus Christ and the Sermon on the Mount. He ends this sermon this way: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Jesus teaches about building our lives on the rock. Now, in other places of Scripture, it clearly says that Jesus himself is the rock, and he is. He is the chief cornerstone, amen? But in this particular teaching, he's not focusing so much that he is the rock, although he is, and they know that. He's focusing on the fact that to build your house on the rock, to really build your house on Jesus Christ, is to hear him, amen, is to hear what he says and to obey it. To obey it. Isn't that what he says? Those who hear my words and what? And obey them. To build your house on the rock is to humble ourselves before the Lordship of Christ and say, what is it, Lord? What do you want from me? I want to give it. Amen? And he says this, he leads us as his people with love, but with authority. When Jesus says, I am the Lord, hear what I say and do it, there is a huge element of authority in that. Would you agree? Do you think the people understood that? Look at verse 28. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. And what was it that actually amazed them? Because he taught as one who had authority. The Greek word is exousia. He had legitimate, legal, moral authority, clearly from God. And he spoke as one who had that authority, not abusively, not irresponsibly, but lovingly, but without compromise. They knew that. Not as their teachers of the law, their teachers who elevated their traditions, their religious traditions, above the very word of God, and therefore lacked all authority from God because they did not honor the word of God and the Messiah of God. Amen? Wow. When leaders at Calvary Baptist Church also teach the word of God faithfully, accurately, lovingly, uncompromisingly, but also when the teachers and the leaders at Calvary Baptist Church live the life and are seen to obey the Lord, there is an authority that comes from Jesus that is demonstrated in that life, amen, and in that teaching. It's a reflected authority. And there's only credibility when leaders themselves live it. And all God's people said, amen. Look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. This is why we have the ambassador's ministry, training men and women to become ambassadors and to share the gospel today as well, right? 4 o'clock, is it? 1 o'clock, I was close, 1 o'clock today, and then out to share the gospel. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Wow, that's an amazing verse. Sometimes we move over that too quickly, or sometimes we go there and say, oh, some of them were faithful and some of them were not. No. We all worship and we all doubt. Amen? That's us. That's us. One day our strength is good, faith is strong. The next day, you and I say, Lord, I believe, I believe. Help my unbelief, amen? That's us. Thank God that's us. He remains faithful, even when we're at times unfaithful. He remains faithful because he cannot deny himself, amen? That's the church. And God doesn't cast us off. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, all this exousia, all this legal, moral, rightful, just authority in heaven and on earth, in the whole universe, has been what? Given to me. He says, I got my authority from God my Father, and it's all mine. Therefore, the church, go, or as you go, make disciples of all nations. The Lord says, because I have all authority, you can go out under the banner of my authority. It's reflected on you. You go out under my banner. All authority, all nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, he says, making disciples, encouraging them, strengthening them to stand publicly for Jesus Christ and to witness to the reality of the one true living God, which men and women are doing all around the world today, and most of them are in situations where their life is then on the line. We're the exception right now. Our brother Alphonse's family lives in Pakistan for Christ. And many of others of you have loved ones, friends, family in many nations. Where to stand up and publicly identify with Jesus Christ could be a death sentence. And people do it. Amen? And why do they do it? Because they really know Jesus. They really know him. And they're really under his authority. That's why they do it. And teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. The church, under the banner of the authority of Christ, encourages and beseeches every believer to obey everything that Jesus says. Everything. And it starts with the leaders. That's where their authority comes from. Amen. It's the word they teach and the life they live. And without that, there is no what? There's no authority. Jesus' authority is only given and shared with those who honor his word and lead the way he leads. Everything, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you, what? Always, even to the very end of the age. He promises his presence with us forever. All authority, all nations, all things he teaches, all days we have his presence, right? What an awesome passage of scripture. Glory to God. To lead like Jesus Christ. When leaders lead the church in the Great Commission, caring about getting the gospel out, caring about an accurate presentation of the gospel, caring about public identification with Christ and teaching the lordship of Christ. When churches and leaders lead like that, they lead like Jesus. Amen? And then that authority needs to be respected in the church. At that point, the authority needs to be respected. Look at chapter 2 of Titus. Titus chapter 2. Verse 11, one of Paul's young men that he was mentoring and that was in ministry and leadership was Titus, along with Timothy. They were raising up these young people to share the gospel, to lead the church. It's very, very exciting. And this Titus was leading the church in Crete in the Mediterranean. What an amazing place to pastor a church, huh? And Paul writes to him in Titus 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. That is, appeared to all people. That men is generic there. Appeared to all men and women, all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. These then, he says to Titus and to us, these then are the things you should teach. Encourage the people and even rebuke the people with all, what is the word? With all authority. The authority that comes from Christ, when the leaders honor Christ, honor his word, and live the life. Encourage and rebuke with all authority. Do not let anyone despise you. The scripture says when leaders are leading the way God wants them to lead, that leadership is to be respected. It is to be honored. It is to be prayed over. Amen. It is to be encouraged. When the leaders lead like Jesus. And there is authority, but it's authority that's always to be exercised with love, responsibly, and never, ever abusively. Amen? Ever. All God's grateful people said. Amen. And what about the response of the church itself as we close this morning? Hebrews chapter 13. What about the response of the people themselves to the gift of loving and godly leadership? What's the response? Hebrews 13, verse 7. The writer to the Hebrews, and we don't know who it was, but God does, and the early church knew that it was ordained by God, and so it's in the canon of Scripture, and we're reading it in New York 2,000 years later, and rightly so. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. These people had had good leadership. Clearly they were leaders who were called by God, who honored the word of God, who in the power of Christ live the Christian life. And when they failed, as we all do, they would ask forgiveness. Amen? There would be genuine repentance. There would be restoration. They honored these leaders. They spoke the word of God to you, meaning they taught the word accurately. They taught the word sensitively, lovingly, but without compromising it. Amen? He says, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. They were leaders, clearly, who in the power of the Lord lived the Christian life seriously and successfully in the power of God, not perfectly, but faithfully. And that includes acknowledging when you're wrong. Amen? It's imitate their faith. They're an example of faith. And then he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is. Notice verse 17. Obey your leaders. That is, obey those leaders that are honoring Christ, are sharing the word the way it should be shared, are living the life that God calls them to live. Obey your leaders and submit to their authority. There is an authority that the leaders have in the church that comes from Christ that is activated and authenticated by their life and their teaching. Amen? In that case, obey that authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. The leaders must give an account to God. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. And what's the result in a church where godly men and women are leading the church and other godly men and women are willing to respect that leadership and to follow it as it honors Christ, what is the result in the church? Well, you get a church that prays and believes in prayer. Verse 18, Paul says, or the writer says, pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. I particularly urge you to pray so I may be restored to you soon. A church with good leadership and a godly congregation is a church that's a praying church. Amen? And we're a praying church, but we can pray more and more passionately, more effectively. This kind of church also is a church that's blessed with the peace of God. You can always look for that if you want to know of God's blessing. Verse 20, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. When you have the peace of God, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, you know that you have a congregation and a leadership that is honoring Jesus Christ. Amen. We want that prayer. We want that peace. The Lord says in his power, it's up to us, leaders and congregation. Amen. So the first thing that leaders do to lead like Jesus is to lead with their authority, but to lead lovingly and responsibly, never abusively. And Lord willing, next time, secondly, I'll just let you know what the scripture says to just think about it and pray about it. Secondly, leaders who lead like Jesus will always lead as servant leaders. Servant leaders, leading with humility before an awesome God. Amen. May that be true of every leader in this church, beginning with the preacher, with all those who are still to be raised up yet, and all God's people said. In the name of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for this congregation that you love so much. Thank you for the leadership, the congregation, the men and women who are called to lead. And we know there's others, men and women, that you're going to raise up to lead as well. We're thrilled about that. Give us discernment, give us love, give us camaraderie, but ultimately give us a commitment to the truth of God and not the traditions of men, whether they're first century or 21st century. Humble us before you, Lord. You are God and we are not. That's the only way the world can work. Continue the good work at Calvary, Lord, until you come again. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen.